I want to say a very strong thank you to our music team here at Wesley for the great, great work that they do. It is a good, good thing to have people we can count on in the midst of this. So I have, I want to tell you that this message that we're going to learn from today, I prepared this message more than 2 years ago. And I've had to make a couple of adjustments in the last couple years of weeks. And so it's changed and become this message for this moment in time for today. This is not a message that I prepared for today. This is a message I prepared actually for a few weeks ago. But it just so happens that it's so appropriate today. So get your Bibles out, and we're going to learn from Luke chapter 17, and then we're going to start at verse 11 and learn together. It says this. You remember in chapter 9, verse 51 of the Gospel of Luke, as we've studied Luke together, I told you back then that that was a key verse. And in that verse, Luke tells us that Jesus resolutely sets forth for Jerusalem. He made a resolute decision, a decision that was irrevocable and unchangeable. He decided he was going to the cross. And then he made this decision to deliberately go into Samaria and then into Galilee and then back into Samaria and then back into Galilee to help us to understand that he who is the light of the world is meant to be the light for the world and not just for a small, select group of people. Whenever Luke gets an opportunity to remind us of that, he does. And that's how this chapter starts. That's how this story starts, with a reminder of Jesus' resolute decision. Verse 11. Now on his way home, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." We think we created social distancing. We did not. In this time, when a person had a disease that was contagious, they were thrown out of the city. This particular disease was leprosy. And so they would form leper colonies. And the reason they would do this is because they were afraid they would catch the disease. And so lepers knew what it meant to be non-essential, to be isolated and separated from community. They understood that people were afraid of them, and so they would be cast out of the city. It didn't matter if they were from Samaria or Galilee. Once they're cast out, it is their disease that defines them, not their location or their history or their genealogy. Some things overcome the biases that we have toward one another. A pandemic is one of those things. It doesn't matter who we are. It has no, absolutely no understanding of what we're from, what genealogy we have, what color our skin is. It's irrelevant. And people are afraid when there's a life-threatening disease that surrounds them. And I want you to see how Jesus responds to the fear that people have. People are normally afraid of lepers. In fact, it's the law mandated that you must keep a distance from those who are sick. Sound familiar? It's exactly what's happening right now. And they call out. They don't come to him, but they call out to Jesus in a loud voice, "Master, Master." And so the sick cry out. This is verse 14 now. When Jesus saw them, He said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. And our prayer, like everybody's prayer who loved these lepers, our prayer is that everybody would be healed. We pray that the pandemic would not take the lives of those that we love. We pray that it wouldn't take the lives of those we don't even know. We pray for our neighbors, that they would find healing. And it is God's desire for that to be so. And so he tells all 10 to go and show themselves. And so they are healed. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And Luke tells us, and he was a Samaritan. You see, there's a great truth in this. You and I understand that eventually, this will pass. We don't know how long that's going to take. There are 3 people in our church alone who have already lost their jobs. One of them's already turned his car in because he can't afford it. That fast. And we understand that it's likely, economically, and perhaps physically, to get worse before it gets better. And here's a trick. Here's something that's important for us to understand. Of the 10 that Jesus touches, of the 10 that he reaches out and heals them, of those 10, later on, and maybe for the rest of their life, only one gives praise. Only one. Only one remembers the state of his condition before and says, "Thank you for being a part of my life." I don't think those statistics are going to change. I think as 15 million people worship Jesus in their home today, afraid of the future, confused by the chaos, I think a lot of people are probably praying. Maybe a lot of people who've never prayed before. Maybe they're on their knees for people that they love. They know somebody who's sick. But eventually, you and I understand, eventually, the pandemic passes. And when that happens, the question is, will we remember to praise? Or will we be part of the 90% that just turns away and says, "Oh, well, I'm through that. Let's go back to work." You know, in my life, I live with people who are exceedingly vulnerable to this. I am so concerned that I spend like no time with anybody, and I take my clothes off at the door, throw them in the washing machine, run around the house until I get a shower, and then I come out. I'm concerned, but I'm not afraid. See, I have a responsibility to my family, as you do, but my responsibility is more than just physical well-being. I have a spiritual responsibility to my family, and I have a spiritual responsibility to you, to teach you what Jesus is telling us. Remember to praise. This is going to pass. For some of us, the darkness will be a deep, deep darkness. We hold within our hearts and our words the light of the world, the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. That's in us. Jesus, listen to how he describes this. He says, verse 17, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." May the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ speak to you now and as this ends. Rise and go, child of faith. believe that God has this. And so I'm going to close again with my key verse, and I want you to hear this. I know this is short. I'm trying to keep it short so that we can understand how we're going to move forward as a church. Our calling in our life, in the midst of this, is to be men and women of faith, to be the 1 in 10 that actually remembers to praise God through this and after it. You praise God with your family. You praise God with your friends. You praise God with your church friends. You check on your neighbors, and you praise God in the midst of this. Some of us are going to face some really difficult things in life. Some already have. And we need to be a people who return to Christ with praise upon our lips. The darkness cannot win. It cannot. It can grow darker. It can feel like it has tremendous power. But I want you to understand, the darker it is around us, the more powerful the light is within us. A single light can light up an entire room. And so we are called to trust in God. And so I have a couple of things I'd like to encourage you to do. Open up your house. Let the light shine. Let the light, the physical light, the sun, shine in your house. Communicate with people. Text them. Call them. Irritate them with care and concern and love. That's what I'm trying to do, is just trying to do as many positive things as I'm able to do without actually being physically present with people. So as much as I can, I'm trying to communicate God has this. And so my key verse, you guys know this by now, through this season of Lent is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, God is not living in you just so that you can be at peace. He has chosen to live inside of you so that the hope that he brings to you might overflow to others. Fight against the darkness. Do this by remembering to praise. Tune in to the work of God, and he will see us through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask, O God, for your richest blessing in the midst of our life. We understand that you are sovereign over every single thing in this life. We understand, Lord, that you created us, and we are yours. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. And so, Lord, I pray for those who are afraid. May your spirit of hope overcome their fear. I pray, Lord, for those who are feeling isolated. May they feel and understand that their presence is a spiritual presence. The church is together and united in this battle against darkness. I pray, Lord, for the children who are missing their friends at school, missing their teachers, missing the laughter and the joy that comes from being with friends. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would give them a great and certain peace that you are in control. And so we trust in you and you alone. So, Father, bless us now, not so that we can simply be blessed, but so that we can share that blessing, the blessing of hope that you pour into our hearts, with other people, all those who trust in you. May we receive your promise of hope and joy and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to turn to the Lord for a time of offering together. There's a couple things, kind of business type things that I wanted to share with you. I've had a lot of people call me and ask, how do I give my offering or my tithe to Wesley? And there's three simple ways you can do it. You can mail it to the church, and we have somebody checking the mailbox, so you can do that. You can go to the website, and there's a give portion. You just click on the website, and it'll walk you through how you can electronically give, or you can call and text your giving to the church. Any one of those is a viable opportunity. We understand right now, as of today, and we live in a fluid situation, we understand that we are not going to be having worship service together at least until after Easter. In fact, the bishop has already told all United Methodist churches in Florida that we're not having Easter services together. This is a new world for me, as it is for you. And so in our lifetime, this is the one thing that I never anticipated would happen. So our live team here, we're working to create an opportunity. There will be something Easter Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and we hope by then you'll be able to see it either on Facebook or on the website. So we're working on that this week so we can get both opportunities before you. For Holy Thursday of Passion Week, that is our communion Sunday, our communion time, Thursday night. What I'd like to do is give you two options, okay? One is I'm going to be standing out here, and I might have a helper with me, with gloves, and we have purchased these itty-bitty, tiny little communion cups sealed with a wafer. And we're going to have a drive-through communion that Thursday from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. So I want to encourage you, if you want to, come by, and I'll hand you a cup, and we'll ask God to bless your family. If you can't come out, and it's possible none of us can come out, then what I'm going to do is encourage you, while you can still get out a little bit, to get yourself a little bit of juice and a piece of bread, and we'll, at 7 o'clock, we'll all together on a live cast, probably me from my home, we'll share in communion together that night. So I want to encourage you to one of those two things. That's what we're going to do for Holy Week for our communion service. There'll be a Friday service at 7 o'clock. One way or another, we're going to figure it out. And we're going to have an Easter Sunday service at 11 o'clock on Easter. It's not going to be everybody here, but we're going to do something. So tune in Easter as well. Also like to ask that you would pray for all those who are vulnerable. I pray that you would, that God would, see, I have a personal issue. I like my personality, I like being by myself, and I like isolating myself, but it's not healthy for me to do that. And if it's mandated that we have to be alone, we need to pray for them. I mean, can you imagine something like this? This is a very, very dear to my heart. A husband and wife who don't normally spend any time together, and their relationship isn't the best to start with, and now they're forced to be together. That's dangerous. You see, when I went to the gas station to get gas last Sunday, I asked the owner, how's business? And he said, business is great. I said, really? He said, yes, less gas and more beer. And that's funny, but understand that with isolation, that's not funny. That's dangerous. That is dangerous to people's souls. And so we need to pray for people who enter this in a broken relationship that's already broken. It's just going to get harsher and harder for them. And we need to pray for children who already feel isolated at school because nobody's their friend, and now they're even more isolated. Children are vulnerable too. So are teenagers. Teenagers go through, do I have any value? Am I important? We need to pray for our teenagers. Today was supposed to be Confirmation Sunday here at church. And, you know, we had a baptism. One of the teenagers was going to be baptized. We're going to do the baptistry. And I mean, we had a great celebration set up, and we had to put it on hold. You know, there's so many. Just think for a second of all the things that people are having to do. They're canceling their weddings or postponing them to the future. I have two funerals right now that are on hold, and they're waiting until we can meet together. That's That's part of the grieving process. These are deep-seated things in people's lives. And so we just need to be in prayer. There are going to be a lot of people who lose their jobs. I don't think we have any clue what to do about that, except help. Keep helping as much as you possibly can. So we're going to worship God now with the giving and the receiving of our gifts. We're going to do our very best here at Wesley to continue to maintain our staff and continue to be a church in operations. We've put all the thermostats on 80. We're doing the best we can. Nobody's here, and we're doing the best that we can. As everybody's doing, we're all going to have to do this. And so if we're in this together, we stay in it together. So you worship God through the giving of your offering. There are three things that the book of Revelation tells us are the things that are the powerful tools of the saints during a time of crisis. And I've shared this before. There are three things, and it's consistent. We pray together, we sing together, and we give our gifts. Those are the three things that we can do that consistently overcome the darkness in this world. So I want to encourage you, you give as the Lord leads. And if you've lost your job, you give accordingly, okay? Not just my permission, God's mandate. So let's worship our Lord now with the giving and the receiving of our gifts. What time is this? That you have confidence in your people that we will shine forth as the stars in the heavens. Father, let us be a guiding light. Let your Spirit work through us. Use these gifts to multiply the goodness of your kingdom here in this world. Never has there been a better time for your people to rise up and be heard than right now. So, Lord, may your Spirit embolden us and empower us to be heard in the midst of the darkness. We ask and we pray these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Friends in the church, let's share it now in our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.